Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome in to the Scoop Podcast, part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network, presented to you by JohnnyT-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. I'm your host, Ross Martin. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Don Callahan, a.k.a. Donnie Scoops. What's up, man?
Not too much. I got my second shot of the vaccine yesterday. So, what, like 2 weeks, is it? 10 days? I will be vaccinated. So, I'm feeling good. A little sore arm, but I'm feeling good. I know you were supposed to get yours. Did you end up getting your shots?
Yeah, all good. Wax and vax, ready to rock.
All right, let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
We have a big show to y'all for y'all today. Remember, this is The Scoop, the number one UNC football recruiting podcast in the world. It's kind of crazy. I mean, it's the number one UNC football recruiting podcast in the world. No other out there that matches what we bring. Today, we're going to go through a lot of kind of important recruitments for UNC's 2022 class. There's been some developments. Things are opening up. Official visits have been set for June and July. We have a lot of top recruits have set official visits. We're going to go through that, give you a glimpse into some of the information that Don's provided on the last two weekly scoops, and we'll go from there. Don, thoughts?
I am excited, particularly last week's weekly scoop, but also this week's weekly scoop had just tons of information. A lot of it stems from the spring game, which we'll obviously get into as far as the recruit attendance was pretty big. So I'm excited to get into it all.
Awesome. And as always, remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Guys, take 30 seconds right now. Rate the podcast, review podcast.
We'll wait. Yeah. We won't say anything for 30 seconds.
And hit subscribe. That way, if you subscribe to Inside Carolina, you get all the different podcasts right into your feed. John Siegley, our great producer, usually hits them to run in the morning. So you can wake up, pop on a podcast on your commute throughout the day. You'll have them right there. So rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll talk about Johnny T-Shirt later. But Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com is our Inside Carolina's podcast sponsor. All right. Let's get into it first, Don, at the top. Of course, we're going to do the top five at the end. We have a new top five. New top five is going to be top five documentaries. So get ready to send that to us. Don, how can they send it to us?
They can tweet it at me, at Don Callahan IC, or they could PM it to me on the message board, which is just Don Callahan, or they can email it to me, don@insidecarolina.com. Make sure you include your first name and location.
Okay, great. So we'll got top five at the end, top five Southern foods. So stay tuned for that. Don,
I cheated. A
Philadelphian.
I actually had my daughter fill out mine.
A Philadelphian.
Because of that.
Is going to provide his top five foods, Southern foods, and we'll hear some subscribers' submissions as well. And the top five for next time we record is top five documentaries, anything, any documentary that you've enjoyed. I'm going to say anything but The Last Dance, Michael Jordan.
That's a good idea to leave Last Dance out.
Yeah, because there's tons of really cool documentaries. It's overwhelming. So I want to get and see what our listeners have really enjoyed as we get here into the summer. All right, Don, let's get right into it. Travis Shaw is the first name I want to bring up, and that's because I saw him play last Friday. So I'm going to let you ask me questions.
All right.
My first time seeing the Grimsley five-star member of the 2022 class, who's a target of Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, all those schools, UNC. I saw him play in person last Friday when Grimsley beat Butler in the semifinals of the 4A state championship game.
So before I get to my questions, we did run an update with Travis, which we posted early last week. He doesn't give away too much because his mindset's on the season, rightfully. And obviously, at that point, his focus was on the semifinal, which you attended. So I know you have seen Travis in person, and he's just looking at him and just watching him move around. He's a huge human being, and he just moves so well. But actually seeing him on the football field, What were your takeaways?
You know what? I don't think I've seen him in person.
Oh, really? Okay. So you probably were pretty impressed.
Maybe he's been in a game that I've been at, but, you know, it's been a year or two since we've been able to see recruits in person.
All right. Then let me start there. Was he physically on the hoof? What first hit you?
Yeah. I mean, just massive lower body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, some players have skinny legs and are jacked up top. Some are just really tall and long and lean, and you can see the frame. But Travis Shaw at 6'5" has just massive legs and mm-hmm. massive lower body. And it's all proportional to how big he is up top, too. It's incredible. I mean, yeah, he's everything advertised in terms of the physical nature of what he brings. Listed 6'5", 310. Probably a little heavier than that, I imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, he towers over everybody. And, yeah, I mean, so I went to Grimsley's game last Friday. You know, they kind of had a spot for me saved. Saw my statue there outside the
stadium. Did you have valet parking or your own parking spot?
All that escorted me in with a police escort.
Before you went to the game, did you go and visit the Ross Martin pool hall?
Yeah, I did. That's all the trophies, the statues, the medals, the academic and athletic awards I won as part of the Whirlies. So I'm warm up a little bit. And then he mostly lines up outside. I think you've said that.
Did you sit in the crowd or did you use a press pass?
I used a press pass.
Were you on the sidelines?
Just walked in. Yeah, I went sidelines most of the time. Okay. I joined a buddy around halftime. I probably watched a quarter in the crowd, but mostly proud of the sidelines. And you could be anywhere. I mean, I could have sat right next to the head coach pretty much, pretty loose in terms of where you could go. Yeah, I mean, you could walk anywhere. So he lines up on the outside. So he's playing end most of the game, played every snap on defense, no snaps on offense. And I think they put him on the outside so that he can, they can either kind of, you know, they're running their offense away from him usually, but it gives him a little more room to operate. He doesn't get double teamed as much or triple teamed as much. But, yeah, they're double-teaming him. He's running over offensive linemen. Didn't make too many plays. I mean, he definitely made some tackles for a loss. Definitely disrupted a lot of things. But they usually ran their offense away from him or he would get double, triple-teamed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, his impact is felt. And I'm certain that they're aware of him the whole game. It was actually a crazy game. I mean, Grimsley scored in the last, 30 seconds to take the lead. I thought it was going to be in the overtime. And then the fans rushed the field.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty wild, and it was pretty cool to go to. I'm glad I went. Almost left because I thought Butler was the better team, and I thought they were going to win. Yeah. They had the better offense. Grimsley's could not move the ball on the ground. They just had no running game. I think it's because Grimsley's offensive line was not very good. But I thought they should put Travis Shaw in on offense for some snaps, and they just run it behind him. And the quarterback had no time to operate. But so I thought it was kind of crazy and almost a miracle that they won. But they're playing Cardale Gibbons on Friday night in Keenan Stadium. So I think I'm going to be there for that too.
All right. So I was following along with that game and multiple others on Twitter. So yeah, the halftime score, I think it was something like Butler was up by two scores. I think it was like 28-14, something like that.
Or 21-7. Yeah.
21-7. Maybe that's what it was. And so then all of a sudden Grimsley was up. So I was surprised by that, but I know Butler is a really good team. Not that Grimsley's not a good team. They're a very, very good team, but Butler, you know, all their players are really good, you know?
They had a great quarterback who I think is playing at Western Carolina.
Okay.
They had some really fast guys. They had a defensive tackle or lineman you probably know of, the Butler guy, 6'5", he's number 90. I don't know. He's a recruit. He's got a lot of offers.
Okay. Bryce Dixon. Bryce Dixon.
Yeah,
we did an intro on him, everything. Yeah, and I heard he actually had a good game. He had a pair of sacks and a lot of pressure on the quarterback, who I like, Alonza Barnett, the quarterback for Grimsley. I like him a lot. I don't know if he's a Power 5 guy.
Yeah.
What did you think of him? Because he
had no time, and they try to throw the ball some, but there wasn't much cooking in the pass game. I mean, I came away. I wasn't too impressed with what he did. Their offense was just not very good. I'm just surprised they won. But they made enough plays, I guess, is what happened. A couple miracle plays that lasted. And the tight end there is Albright. Son of the athletic director who played
Lawson,
at Crimson.
Yeah, yeah, Lawson Albright, committed to Northwestern.
Yeah, and you could tell he was he stood out in terms of his size. All right. Anything else, Travis Shaw?
Just to, I guess, close it, as far as his billing, five-star guy, top guy in the state, I think he's the highest-ranked recruit in a very, very long time in the state of North Carolina. Did he live up to that billing for you?
Yeah, and I remember you kind of telling me that maybe he needed to lose weight or maybe he needed to focus on being a little more active and playing every snap.
Lose weight, but endurance, which,
Yeah.
You can obviously fix that in a few months. Just, you know. So did you see, was that a problem?
Yeah,
in this game?
I thought his effort was very high. I mean, I watch him every snap. I thought he was very into the game, very passionate, very emotional on the sideline, very locked in. Seemed like he wanted to win. But, you know, there's a difference between just playing the game and kind of standing out. And he seemed very locked in and focused on defense, leader on that side of the ball. And he definitely made a difference. I mean, I'm not an expert like you on that stuff, but yeah, in terms of size and physicality, all there. I mean, he probably needs to lose. He definitely needs to keep losing weight to get to college. But when he's going to be not double teamed and more in one-on-one situations in college, I mean, he'll be an impact player from day one.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
I appreciate that, that evaluation from Ross Martin.
There you go. All right. Let's get into kind of what we want to talk about on this podcast. We're going to go down through a couple names here. Let's start with Zach Rice, who has visited UNC multiple times, but released a top five and then a set five official visits, which is really the big news. Don, what's going on with Zach Rice right now?
So back in, what was it? I think it was back in maybe like last month, he came out with official top five: Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, UNC, and Virginia. And his plan, set official visits to those five schools in this summer and then come up with a decision from that. When you have a situation like this, particularly you're operating within a defined window, like the month of June, because the way the calendar works, recruits should be able to, or will be able to take official visits in the month of June. I think it's June 1st it's not the entire month, but basically it's the entire month. And what I always find interesting is the order of those official visits.
Yes.
There's a lot of jostling of, you know, do you want to get first, last, that sort of thing. And I think everybody always asks me, well, do you want to be first? Do you want to be last? And I always say, it depends on the recruit. With Zach, at first I kind of was like, all right, I think you want one of the early official visits. But if he's going to take all of his official visits, maybe the last one might be better. So do you want to?
Yeah, let's go through them.
Yeah.
And let me first, I need to be better at this. Zach Rice, offensive tackle from Liberty Christian Academy in Lynchburg, Virginia, 6'6", 285, ranked number 5 in the nation. I think that might be a jump recently. Maybe not. Number 1 offensive tackle, number 1 player in Virginia. Yeah, I think he's moved up. So this is the number. This guy is an elite recruit, number 5 in the nation, number 1 offensive tackle. And his list of official visits: Ohio State on June 4th, Virginia on June 11th, North Carolina on June 17th through 19th. And I said I have a weekend there, but not to say the other ones aren't going to be weekend trips either. Alabama, June 23rd through 25th. And Notre Dame on June 27th. Don, what's your reaction to kind of how those dates break out, and what do you think about it?
Yeah, so UNC obviously is right in the middle. And I guess you kind of get the best of both worlds. You will still be kind of fresh in his mind compared to some of the other programs. But you also are kind of getting, that first sort of, you can react to what some of the two other programs did during their official visit. What's also interesting to me is that the Ohio State one, the Virginia one, I guess the Alabama one is not. And I wonder, because I actually wonder if the 27th might be a dead period. So the dates might not be 100%. So it might actually be the 25th. But a lot of these, except for North Carolina's, are during the weekend. I wonder what sort of impact that's going to have on it. You know, obviously, we're not in the UNC won't be in school And there'll be camps going on and all of that. Looking at the count. Yeah, UNC has a couple of 7-on-7 camps going on during that time, which should be good. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I think getting it after Virginia is good. Okay. But getting it before Alabama is kind of tough.
Yeah. Wow. What analysis. It's going to be interesting. That's when you have nothing to add. I mean, I use that a lot and stuff too.
It's hard to break it down. Well, I was under the impression that maybe getting one of the first ones would be key because I think he has the potential to pop at any moment. But now I'm starting to come around and think, all right, I think he's going to go through and take this entire schedule first. So maybe, you know, maybe you want to be towards the end.
Yeah. My only thought, one of my thoughts looking at that schedule is that he might get some fatigue with all these trips. That's a lot of traveling. You know, he's going to be pumped for the Ohio State one that's first. He's done Virginia and UNC before, so it's going to be interesting. It's interesting to see how those two schools kind of differentiate themselves and kind of make the visit different to stand out to him. And in the two schools he hasn't visited, along with Ohio State, Alabama and Notre Dame, are going to be ones he's definitely going to check out. So I think you're right. He's going to want to go through with it unless something happens at Virginia and UNC where he just says, this is where I want to be. No need to go through with the other ones. I can get everything I want at one of those schools.
He's already been to Virginia before. He knows that campus really well.
Yep.
So I just don't foresee him going to Virginia and closing it down. I also don't see that with North Carolina. Maybe with Ohio State, but that's his first official. You know, I don't think he just shuts it down during his first official. Mm-hmm. Alabama, if Alabama really wants him, you know, could he just shut it down after that, after taking – you know, four officials.
Yeah. Or this could be a thing where, you know, he takes his officials and he goes into July and August before his season starts and makes a decision then and has two more months to think about it.
Yeah.
Great. All right, let's move on. Xavier Simmons, you posted an article about this today. We're recording Tuesday afternoon on Xavier Simmons. This is an in-state guy from Northwest Guilford High School. You know, kind of a mid-range three-star, 372 in the nation, number 12 inside linebacker, number 13 player in the state of North Carolina, 6'3", 225. I believe this is a guy who UNC wants to play kind of the outside rush defensive end slash outside linebacker role.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's a linebacker, but he has the ability to rush the passer, so he fits perfectly at what Jay Bateman wants in that position.
Correct. And this is more of a regional recruitment, you know, doesn't have the massive national offers, but certainly a guy in state who's getting a lot of interest from ACC schools. What's going on with his recruitment, Don? And we'll get to his official visits.
So he's having some conversations with Oklahoma and Missouri, and both of the schools have offered him. But like you mentioned, I think he's going to stay in the Carolinas or Virginia, that sort of region. He has three officials set up: Virginia, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina. I think NC State, I feel pretty confident in saying NC State's going to get a fourth. And then the fifth one could go to South Carolina, but it might not even matter. Right now, as I mentioned earlier, you know, there's only four weekends in June. And I find that aspect of the whole setting up official visits with all recruits kind of interesting. Who gets those weekend official visits or who gets an abbreviated midweek official visit? But anyway, so he has three of those weekends kind of checked or occupied. And I think NC State will get the fourth. And I think ultimately it's going to come down to those four schools. He told me that there's three schools are kind of ahead of the pack heading into the summer. That's in the story. I won't get into that too much. I know that the response to the article was, oh, NC State doesn't have an official visit scheduled, yada, yada. NC State's not a factor here. And I don't think that's misleading to think that way. I think that NC State is definitely a factor here. I do think, though, it ends up coming down to Virginia Tech and North Carolina, but I don't think NC State should be dismissed at all.
Okay, and you had Virginia June 4th, Virginia Tech June 18th, and UNC June 25th.
So going back to what we're talking about with the positioning, this is a kid who has taken a very methodical approach to his recruitment. Mm-hmm. He actually has taken quarantine visits, quote unquote, visits to all five of these schools that I mentioned purposely. And obviously his plan is to take his official visit. So I fully expect him to be one of those kids where I was kind of on the fence with Zach. I fully expect Xavier to take all five or to take, yeah, take all five of his official visits or four of his official visits and then make his decision. So for North Carolina to get that last official visit, I think it's big.
Great. You really brought it on that analysis.
I was going to jump in because you were calling me out during the Zach Rice thing.
Yeah, I feel like you're locked in Xavier Simmons.
Well, the thing with Zach is anyone who's talked to him, he is a kid. Like you talk to him, and I mean, and
he
I'm not
is
saying
a kid? In a bad
way. Yeah, I'm not. Okay, I'm not trying to say it in a bad way, but you know, he's just very, very kid-like in a fun way. You know, and so it's kind of hard to get a hold of just what's going on with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's just an excuse for your analysis. But yeah, I think you stepped it up, and I want to make sure that our listeners are receiving all their money's worth from this free podcast.
Yeah. All right. I don't want anyone returning it with a receipt.
That's right. Or complaining excessively on the message boards. All right. Let's get right back into it. But first, I'll talk about Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. They're our podcast sponsor. And, you know, they help us do what we do here at Inside Carolina, especially with the podcast. So make sure you support them on Franklin Street and online at JohnnyT-Shirt.com, a locally owned, alumni owned UNC apparel store that has everything you need for UNC apparel needs. They got, I'm looking right now, a women's button down with a UNC logo. Great for the tailgates. Great for watching games and getting dressed up for the games. They have a Carolina Mom T-shirt. They have, scrolling down, they have a grill cover. It's grilling season. They have a bracelet. They have really cool men's soccer jerseys, football jerseys. Great time for birthdays coming up to get a football jersey for your son, for your daughter, for anyone that loves Carolina sports. Tons of t-shirts. You know, it's always great, you know, maybe an unexpected gift to get a t-shirt or a sweatshirt for someone you love, and go to Johnny T-shirt and JohnnyT-shirt.com. And remember, Dom, Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off their entire order. Get sweatshirts, get t-shirts, get jerseys, get hats for your whole family, and use that 10% off discount code found on the Tar Pit Premium and UNC Basketball Premium message boards for your Johnny T-shirt purchases. I'm looking at basketball here. I'm looking at, what else? Let me scroll one more time. Football jerseys, a dog collar with a UNC logo, a distressed vintage line tee Heather Carolina T-shirt, a baseball jersey. Great for a Darty. Always rocking jerseys at Darty's. You know what Darty is, Don?
Nope.
Day party.
Ah.
A Hawaiian shirt, a UNC Hawaiian shirt. Take the family down to the Caribbean, down to Florida, rocking a Hawaiian shirt. Get all that, Johnny T-shirt and JohnnyT-shirt.com. We'll be right back. Couple national ads. Right back with a little more insight on UNC's 2022 recruiting.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we are back. Welcome back to the Scoop Podcast. How you doing, Don? Quick check-in.
I'm doing great. I was just wondering, after you did the ad read, what are you getting for your mom for Mother's Day?
Probably get her some flowers. I'm not a huge gift guy. And she's not a huge Carolina fan, so I'm not going to, even though.
So you can't go to Johnny T-shirt?
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't wear, like, football jerseys.
Okay.
My mom is a very unique lady.
Uh-oh. What does that mean?
She's just a little bit different than probably the average mom, in a good way.
Okay. We're going to have a podcast topic on that.
Yeah, you have no idea.
God, you're intriguing me more and more.
I mean, just think about a 70-year-old hippie a hippie, burned out hippie mom.
Okay.
That's what my mom is.
We need to get back to football talk.
Tofu, pottery, gardening, herbal remedies, all the above. All right. Let's get into it. Don, you have other things going on? I heard that alert.
Yeah. No, nothing, you know, nothing that will take me away from this podcast.
Okay. All right. Shaquille Knotts, wide receiver, 6'2", 175 from Monroe, North Carolina, Monroe High School. Top-ranked recruit, I mean, top meaning, you know, top 100, four-star, number 88 in the nation, number 12 wide receiver, number 3 in North Carolina. You had a little intel about him, Don. What can you tell us about what's going on with his recruitment? I believe he visited for the spring game.
He did. He went to the spring game. He has also scheduled an official visit with Maryland, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
He plans on taking additional official visits, but doesn't have anything else scheduled.
Okay, that's it? So it's just does he intend to visit UNC?
Yeah, so UNC is one of the ones that he plans on taking an official visit to. UNC has got to be viewed as the leader for him until something else happens, just because yeah, he has so much connection to the school. It's one of the first schools to offer him. Mm-hmm. His cousin is Gavin Blackwell, who signed with UNC in the last class. You know, he has been there a bunch of times. You know, the spring game was just the latest in a long line of visits there. He's a member of the Carolina Stars, who, if you follow me, you know Carolina Stars, a big 707 program in the state of North Carolina, has had Sam Howell, Drake May most recently. So he's been catching passes from Drake May and been teammates with a bunch of those guys who ended up in North Carolina.
Okay. In this wide receiver class or the 2022 class for UNC, how many they're going to take? Do you know how many they're going to take? I know you hate to talk about this.
Yeah, I do hate to talk about this. So I think that they're going to take at least one more.
Because they already have one. Well,
they have one committed. Yeah,
Virginia.
Tyshawn Chapman is committed. He's a slot guy. The preference now is to add a taller, longer outside receiver, such as Shalik Punch Knotts.
Okay, and Andre Green.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get both of those guys, you know, numbers be damned. I mean, they'll take both of those guys. That's how talented they both are.
Okay, cool. So those are the two kind of top guys?
Right now, I mean, there's always a chance. There's some guys that I know have intrigued the staff who could potentially camp this summer and maybe squeeze out an offer, but you know, we'll see.
What happened with Dakota Twitty? I just remember seeing a bunch of stuff about him, and then all of a sudden, like, he's not even offered or something like that.
Yeah, right? So they offered him. I don't think that the staff was all that thrilled, and I think it was at a point where, you know, thrilled with him, you know, or maybe there was a little bit of remorse on offering him.
Gotcha.
After the offer was extended, you know, he was offered during the pandemic. He went to some camps and did really, really well. And I think also there were some camps afterwards, after the offer kind of came out, where you know, he's not the most physical wide receiver, despite him. I mean, he's a legit 6'6". And I think some of that kind of showed in one-on-ones. You know, also you watch his film from this past season. And, yeah, he's catching a lot of passes. But, you know, he's playing against the worst competition in North Carolina and doesn't have a big yards after catch game. Which is disappointing when you're playing that sort of competition. So he just wasn't. North Carolina was someone who obviously they want size, but they wanted someone with size who is going to be able to, you know, stretch the defense and do something with the ball after he catches it.
He's from Thomas Jefferson Academy.
Yeah, which is, I've been there, and it's in the middle of nowhere. Great kid, hard worker. And I think some of that stuff is why they initially offered him, because he's a hard worker. He's a kid who works on his craft every single day, every way imaginable. He competes. He goes to all these camps. I think he went to just about every camp nearby, you know, the past couple of years. So he's a competitor. He loves the game of football. He, you know, he's a smart kid, good in the classroom, great GPA, all that sort of stuff. So, and he just wasn't a fit for UNC's offense, I think, at the end of the day.
Mooresboro, North Carolina. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's
It's on the way. It's between Shelby on the way to, like, on the way.
Which basically to Asheville, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, on the path to Asheville, but yeah, pretty far from there.
Yeah.
Do you love the state of North Carolina, Don?
I do love the state of North Carolina. I've traveled so much of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know it pretty well. Offer remorse. I think that's what your wife had when you got engaged.
She definitely reminds me. She reminds me of that every day.
She had engagement remorse. All righty, good stuff. Good stuff. A little chop there. Guys being dudes.
It's okay. The posters and the message board, they're gonna have my back and they're gonna stick up for me.
Stop making fun of Don. Stupid. You're gonna hurt Don's feelings. Stop making fun of Don. All right.
Hey, we're in cancel culture, so you gotta be careful.
I know.
You might get canceled.
I have to watch every single thing I say on the podcast. You don't even know what goes through my head. I mean, I already could have said 10 things that would have gotten me canceled already.
Oh boy.
I just can't say them.
Well, I'm glad that you're growing before our very eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Maturity. All right. Jake Pope, Don. Jake Pope is a name we know well, beloved by UNC defensive coordinator Jay Bateman, a safety from Buford, Georgia, 6'1", 190. He's a three-star, but I think he should maybe rise in recruiting rankings. Number 375.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very, very high. I think he's as high as you can get as a three-star and not be a four-star.
Number 375 in the nation, number 23rd ranked safety, number 35 player in Georgia. You know, has all the big offers now. Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama. I mean, he's gained all the big offers. Arkansas, Auburn, you know, Georgia's offered him, but he has down to a top five, right?
Yeah. So it's he actually had a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
God,
like a top eight, but he came up with four official visits from that eight and he's saving the fifth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking back. Let me go back to some of these offers. I mean, it's national. Wisconsin, yeah. Vanderbilt, USC, Tennessee, South Carolina, Pittsburgh, Penn State, you know, Nebraska, Michigan State, Michigan, Miami, Louisville, Iowa, Indiana. So, you know, pretty much all the conferences, but Pac-10 other than USC have offered
this guy. The crazy thing with him, especially after you just said all that, is that back last summer, he took – quarantine visits to North Carolina and South Carolina, two of the few schools that offered him, because he felt like he had to get a good grasp on his recruitment, because he felt like he was going to have to make a commitment pretty quickly so that he could lock in a spot. He was afraid that he was going to lose spots. Then he ended up having this unbelievable junior season. He's an incredible athlete. He's also a really, really good baseball player, not to the level he'll get drafted. His high school baseball team is number one in the nation. He's a leadoff and center fielder guy that just kind of speaks to just the type of athlete he is.
Okay. So he has official visits planned. Let me go through them real quick.
Go ahead.
UNC June 4th. UNC gets the first one June 4th. Notre Dame June 11th. Ohio State June 18th. And Alabama June 25th. UNC's right there with the heavy hitters. A similar list to Zach Rice. Same schools, except Rice has Virginia in there as well. And then I read a line that was interesting from your scoop. Multiple sources believe the Fighting Irish have supplanted Georgia as the Heels' greatest competition in this recruitment, because Georgia does not have a OV scheduled with him.
Yeah. So the funny thing for me, at least, was that because the big thing this year are these official visit edits or graphics that they post on Twitter, that the recruits post on Twitter. And so he posted all four of his, plus just a generic graphic from Georgia. Right. I just, you know, thought that was a little funny. But so, yeah. So at one point, Georgia was viewed as a team to beat. They have picked up some safeties or in it pretty strong with some big time guys, higher ranked than Jake Pope. So from what I've gathered and what makes complete sense, it sounds like Georgia probably pulled off a little bit on this, and that's why he doesn't have an official schedule there.
Okay. Has he visited UNC yet?
He has. He took that quarantine visit to UNC back in, I think it was August of last year.
But this will be the first one with staff involvement and all the good stuff that comes with official visits. Jay Bateman wants to turn on the charm to lure the Mr. Pope to UNC. Anything else on him?
Yeah, like I said, I like to look at the order. UNC's first. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing because I think this is a kid who is going to take his notes. It's going to remember everything throughout it. But obviously schools like Ohio State and Alabama who get the latter two official visits, they can kind of see what he liked in the first couple official visits and somehow counteract that or replicate it or whatever it may be, depending on what it is. So I'm not a huge fan of North Carolina being the first one to host him for an official visit, but I don't think it's a huge deal just because of his mentality.
One thing also to consider on these official visits is they're happening in June, mm-hmm. when campus is probably the most empty. June or July, it's the most empty. So these recruits aren't going to get the benefit of a college game day, a game day on campus with all the students, with the parties rocking.
Let me ask you a question along those lines. All right.
Well, do you want me to finish what I was going to say?
Well, all right, go ahead. Then I'll ask. I have a question that kind of fits what you just said, but go ahead.
Yeah. I think I know what you're going to ask. So, I mean, that can help and hurt different schools in different ways because you do want to show off your campus. You do want to show off your crowd, your scene, the weather, students, the parties. I mean, it's no secret that these kids go with the players to parties following the games and whatnot. So it's just a different factor when you're contemplating where they're going, when they're going, and what campus is going to be like and the atmosphere on campus for game days. Don?
All right, so my question – I'm glad I let you finish because you kind of set the stage even better, is take this order and put it into the fall. Where do you like North Carolina's chances? Meaning going to the fall, he'd be visiting all those four schools for actual games and all of that.
Like the UNC game, UNC won't be the first visit he takes.
Yeah,
like
UNC would be the first one, and then he would go to a game at Notre Dame, a game at Ohio State, and a game at Alabama.
I just think the bigger schools, Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, have an advantage given they're just different type of fan base than UNC and different type of game atmosphere.
So this summer stuff definitely kind of works to UNC's advantage to a degree.
Yes.
Yeah.
For certain things. I think UNC's party scene is right up there. Okay. Could be. I don't know. I haven't been to school in a while.
Do you hang out down there and check out the party scene on weekends?
I do not.
Okay.
Hard
you answer
no.
that really quickly.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get me in trouble. Trying to make it seem like I'm hanging out with college kids.
And that's not the case, right?
I'm a 34, almost 35-year-old adult.
Oof.
Adult male.
Male. Important. All right.
Yeah.
What's next?
So, yeah, I think that's interesting because usually these official visits, a lot of times these official visits are during the football season. Or some, weirdly, they had some in December, I think, back in the day. They have these December things. So, just, weather. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't want to go to a visit in late November or even October in Notre Dame or Ohio State because it'd be cold, super cold, which can work against you.
Some people don't like the cold. So, yeah, so but it helps Notre Dame, too. Because
also – yeah, but Notre Dame's atmosphere is rocking, I imagine. But also could hurt, schools where it's really, really hot in June.
You get
a guy who comes from, somewhere where there's not used to the heat. They go to Alabama in late June. That's going to be a super hot, which could affect their decision-making. So,
yeah, I would imagine a kid from Buford, though, would be
– correct.
Pretty – because that's basically Atlanta,
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Don, any other players you want to talk about? Those are just four I picked. I think you did a really good job
of picking those four.
Yeah, I just went through it. The listeners are kind of getting a glimpse into kind of who really plans these podcasts.
But I think it's important to mention that the prior two weekly scoops, we talked about a bunch of guys and an update on a bunch of guys. So this is just a small piece of that pie.
I haven't even looked at your one you published today.
Well, it has lots of information.
Yeah. So check those two out. The one from last week goes through probably over maybe 20 players that visited UNC for the spring game, right?
Yeah, that's the main topic, actually. I didn't even mention that. I caught up with yeah, as many guys as I could who I knew were in Keenan Stadium on that Saturday for the spring game, and just got their general thoughts. And a lot of the guys were really, really good about giving me, you know, what stood out and that sort of thing.
What do you think about it raining? The one day in April happened to be the UNC spring game.
Yeah, well, for me, I absolutely hated it because I'm trying to take pictures and I have my equipment, and it's just awful when it rains. I don't care about getting wet, but obviously I've actually broken an Inside Carolina camera because of, what was the one game? It was something weird. Like, I don't want to say it was Illinois. It was somewhere Indiana that came to North Carolina. This is a few years ago.
Yeah,
I feel like it was a miss. Was it Indiana?
It was not Indiana. They haven't played Indiana football.
Okay. I can't remember who it was. And it rained, and it wasn't even a great recruit turnout, but the rain got to my camera well enough to break it.
What was your outfit on for the spring game?
Whew, I don't even know. I think I had a 24/7 sports polo on. Okay. And I think I went with some khaki shorts, no cargo shorts. Ooh. I know you're trying to get me. I believe my cargo shorts have been eliminated.
Holy moly. Breaking news. Yeah. My two favorite Don outfits are the baggy cargo shorts and the baggy t-shirt.
Okay.
You wear to camps a lot because you carry all your stuff in your pockets.
Yeah.
And it's casual.
Yeah, cargo pants are great because so much stuff. Pens, pencils, notepads. Yeah, I had the still camera, the video camera. I mean, you know.
Yeah, don't hate the game. They're very serviceable. That's why they were popular during the Vietnam War. And then my second favorite outfit, maybe my first favorite, is when you go tie.
I do that for you now.
You go tie. Yeah, you know, I guess khakis or some sort of pants. You go like a Dwight Schrute colored button down and a tie for a game.
Well, so it usually happens the week or the game after I see you and you're like, oh, you haven't worn a tie this season. And so I'm like, all right, I'll give the man what he wants. He wants to see Don in a tie. Let's deliver.
You missed food on after the spring game. I'm
was
sure you
good?
Left. They brought some chicken sandwiches that were left over from like the different boxes.
Ross loves freebie foods.
There's probably nothing I like more in life than free food.
You're right about that. Free food
and
tastes
I, like, have
a lot
to, my thing is I have to eat it. I have to try it, no matter what it is.
It usually ends up being better than the food you pay for.
I cannot turn down free food.
I went to the first high school I went to was in inner city Philadelphia. And because most of the kids that went to school there were already getting free lunch anyway, they just gave everybody free lunch. And it was actually really good. And then we moved to the suburbs where you had to pay for lunch. And it was awful. It tastes like cardboard. I never understood that.
What was your favorite school lunch dish? Like, what'd you get most excited about?
I mean, it was always pizza. Pizza day was always the best.
Square pizza.
I know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, compared to all the other stuff, you know, pizza day was a big day.
I always remember the really soft pasta with meat sauce was always pretty good too.
I don't remember anything.
Like the baked pasta type deal.
I remember the crappy burgers, but other than that, I don't remember a whole
lot. Corn dogs. Corn dogs are always good. Big corn dog guy. Mm. I know you're a big corn dog guy too.
No, I actually am not. Do not like corn dogs.
Denies the corn dog. Breaking news. All right.
I don't like wieners on sticks.
For those listening, we're done with football talk. That's why we're doing the off-topic stuff, so don't complain.
Yeah, so we got to go to our top five.
Yeah, let me get one thing in here from your scoop, all right?
Okay. Uh-oh.
And I think you saw it because I added it to the Google Doc. You had a little line here in your doc, in your scoop, it says, it's about Tom Lemming, who held an event in Chapel Hill, Tom Lemming's photo shoot. You know, he's a big recruiting guy. This is what you wrote. Tom Lemming is the true godfather of recruiting, regardless of whomever else has claimed the title. He's been traveling nationwide, interviewing and photographing recruits since the late 1970s. Decades before the internet took recruiting coverage to new heights. What was that line about regardless of whomever else has claimed the title?
I mean, there's someone else who claims that title and they didn't start covering recruiting until like the early 2000s. And you know, I have other opinions, but I'll just leave it at that. And I think it's just unfair, especially for a guy who's been covering it since the early 70s, went to John Elway's high school and Dan Marino's high school and all that sort of stuff. He's actually, I met Tom Lemming a bunch, you know, through the years. I mean, he's a really good guy. He does things obviously way differently. He's more like the whole year sort of thing, as opposed to what we do is like more of a daily basis sort of thing. But had dinner with him recently, and super fascinating guy. He was on the Blind Side, the movie. He was in that. He was in another movie. He has connections with everything.
Where does he live?
He lives in Chicago.
Okay.
So, but talking to him is just absolutely fascinating, just because of all the different recruits he's seen throughout the years and the connections that he has. So I have a lot of respect for him. And again, he just does things completely differently. If you follow, if you were like a diehard follower of recruiting prior to the internet era, which was in 2000, 2001, you likely subscribe to his newsletter and or magazine. So, so I think he deserves credit. He doesn't get enough credit for what he does because he doesn't do it on a daily basis like us.
So back in the day, he'd have a magazine, a monthly magazine and like a weekly newsletter or something?
No, I think it was like a monthly newsletter and then just one annual magazine sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
but he's also involved with like USA Today. He picks that team. He started with the U.S. Army All-American game, picking that team. I think he helps out with a bunch of these different high school awards sort of thing. I mean, he's pretty legit.
And then back in the day, I mean, recruiting wasn't that big of a deal because it was hard to get information on the guys that were coming into your school.
Yeah.
Recruiting wasn't nationwide. It wasn't a nationwide thing. You know, schools like Georgia and Alabama would recruit kids from Georgia and Alabama, I imagine, because it was just different.
Well, recruiting in general, even now, recruiting is a niche sort of thing. You know, if you're a recruiting fan, it's a niche thing. Even within, not everybody follows sports, follows recruiting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is like a lot of other things where the internet allowed niche sort of topics to kind of grow. And that's what it did for recruiting.
Yeah. And just like, internet changed tons of things, but, you know, changed access for you to reach out for a guy in California, for you to reach a guy other places because of different social media, cell phones, and the internet. Good stuff. A little ode to Tom Lemming there.
Yes. And as you know, he's very connected with UNC staff.
Where did you have dinner with him?
Top of the Hill.
Oh, so this was when he came into town.
Yeah.
I'm putting the pieces together now. All righty.
The person you're thinking of, and don't mention any names, he was not there.
But, oh, okay.
But jeez. Anyway. But you're close, but go ahead.
Okay.
Let's go to the next topic.
All right, let's get into our top five. We tasked our listeners to give us their top five Southern foods. Don fought back because he's not from the South, but I imagine the majority of our listeners are. I think it was a great topic. And I'm surprised Don's not a Southern food fan because it's everything you like. Fat, meat, cheese, you know, all the good stuff. But you don't like vegetables.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, I think.
Do you really not like vegetables?
I mean, I'm starting to come around to broccoli.
Jeez Louise.
And I'm good with broccoli. But like everything else, I kind of force myself to eat. I definitely don't eat enough. So I do try to force myself to eat my vegetables, which I wasn't doing my entire life.
Very interested to find out how long you live.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, whatever. We'll stop there. I was going to say, guess what I cooked this morning?
What's that?
Eggplant curry with chicken thighs.
For breakfast?
I wake up so early. I have a lot of time before I need to work. So I had a lot of stuff I've been waiting to cook. And I had a little gap of time. So I cooked eggplant curry.
What time do you wake up?
5:05.
Why 5:05?
Because I work out at 5:30.
I gotcha. So you work at 5:30. What time's your workout done?
It ends at 6:30, and then we have like a little meeting, and then I drive home.
Gotcha.
I'm back home by 6:45 or so.
Okay. So did you make this meal once you returned home?
Yeah. Showered, got ready, started cooking it up, and was
gotcha.
Done by 8 or so, 8 or 9.
Gotcha.
All righty. Let's get into it. Top five. Let's read them all, Don. We have about four. We have about all five right. or six. Let's read them all. I'll start from the top.
Okay.
John from Lynchburg. 5, fried okra. 4, fried bologna sandwich with mayo on bread. Super underrated. 3, biscuits and gravy. 2, North Carolina barbecue. 1, liver mush. The most unique and bizarre North Carolina food. Shelby has a liver mush festival. Don, comments. I want to get your comments on all these.
All right, comments.
Move through it though.
I don't. I never heard of liver mush. Sounds disgusting.
Okay. Anything else? Fried bologna sandwich.
Never had it. I think I've heard of it.
I'm sure you would like it. I mean, it's just like ham, essentially.
Okay.
I'd say it's like thick cut ham, essentially, on bread with mayo or mustard. I've never had liver mush, either. Okay. But I'm familiar with it. Not too familiar with it, and would definitely try it.
Okay. Okay. All right. I've had liverwurst.
Yeah.
Is it similar?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with Ryan Chapel Hill. 5, mac and cheese. I love mac and cheese. Didn't know it was Southern, but I love mac and cheese. 4, oak and or mesquite barbecue. Now, how does that differ from...
You want to read what he says?
Okay. Sometimes I like to read it, but sometimes... All right. The wood you burn with is the most important decision in smoking. Mesquite adds so much flavor, but oak is reliable and doesn't burn as fast. Ah, I get it now. I'm stuck between the two, but properly smoked chicken and pork is a delicacy. Okay. Yeah. All right. 3, Cajun crawfish, which I don't think I've ever had crawfish before, but I've heard I would like it. So that's something that I definitely would like to try. 2, collard greens. And 1, fried chicken. I'm not a big fried chicken fan. I will eat it, but I'm just not a big fried chicken fan.
Jeez. Have you had collard greens?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think it's one of those things that kind of sneaks up on me.
Very Southern. All right. Dale from Waxhaw. 5, pimento cheese. Goes great alone on a sandwich or on his favorite burger. His honorable mention, though, is shrimp and grits and pecan pie and sweet tea. Great. 4, hush puppies. 3, biscuits and gravy. 2, collard greens with bacon fat and salt pork. 1, barbecue Eastern North Carolina style vinegar-based sauce. Thoughts, Don?
I never had hush puppies or barbecue sandwiches before I came here. Absolutely love both of them.
Okay.
I'm not a gravy person. Which okay. So, I mean, I'll eat biscuits, but I'm just not a gravy person. We have that here in my house, and I just grab the biscuits and say, you guys can have the gravy.
What about pimento cheese?
I don't know. I don't think I've had it. I don't know.
I love pimento cheese.
This is Locke in Greensboro. His bonus is sweet tea and or Arnold Palmer. 5, collard greens. 4, banana pudding, which I like. 3, shrimp and grits. I'm sure I will like. 2, pimento cheese, which I'm sure I will like. 1, barbecue and hush puppies, which I definitely like.
Okay. Locke, a favorite of Don's.
I'm going to hang out with Locke. We're going to eat together.
Yeah, there you go. Dean Dong from Charlotte.
No, that's wrong. It should be California. I can't remember if Southern or not.
He says he lives in SoCal, but when he visits the motherland. Okay, lives in SoCal, but when he visits the motherland, at least one of the following must be consumed. All right, 6. He did the top 6. When I'm on the road headed to my secret fly fishing stream, it's Yoo-Hoo, a banana moon pie, and some Electric Light Orchestra, which is a band. 5, Midsummer Tomato Sandwich.
I know
sandwich.
ELO. It's my mom's favorite.
Yeah, it's a great band. They have a great band. Jeff Lynn is the lead singer, part of the Traveling Wilburys. 5, a Midsummer Tomato Sandwich with light mayo and freshly cracked pepper eaten over my mama's kitchen sink. Love it. 4, a peck of raw oysters with mini draft beers from Big Daddy's at Lake Norman.
So I've had oysters before, not in the South. I'm not. I know it's like an acquired taste, but I just don't dig it. Are you an oyster guy?
Love them.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have them that often, but oyster roast is It's a great event to go to. 3, low country boil with sausage, shrimp, clams, corn on the cob, thrown on top of an outdoor picnic table. Love the visuals that Dean Dong is providing.
Dean Dong is great. I wish he would contribute every week.
2, fried venison harvested from Lake Matamuskeet.
Mm.
Do you know what venison is?
It's deer, right?
Yeah. I don't know why it's harvested from a lake.
Yeah. But Lake Matamuskeet, that's like up like northeast, right?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Next one for Ding Dong.
Northeast North Carolina.
Yeah. Fresh collard greens cooked with fat back and completely doused with Texas Pete pepper sauce.
Love some Texas Pete.
All right.
All right. We going with the last two?
We got 2 more. Yep.
All right. Brent Gilbert.
Now you read Preston's.
No. Preston is your guy. Is that your dad?
I don't know who he is, man.
So it could be your dad.
My dad is not listening to this podcast.
Okay. you got to read Preston's. All right. Grant Gilbert, Arizona. 5, banana pudding. Had some in Arizona recently, and the place must have used fresh green bananas. If that banana is not brown and recently been pulled out of the freezer, no thank you. 4, fresh field peas, preferably with a leftover ham bone from stock. 3, squash and onions, lightly browned. 2, real fried chicken, not from a fast food restaurant. I like the making sure the difference is in there. And 1, fried seafood. I grew up in a 1.5 hour. Oh, I grew up an hour and a half away from the beach. But when you're reading these things, you don't know. It's, you know, anyway, everywhere had fried seafood specials on Friday.
Love it. Yeah. I was wondering about seafood. Like, is that considered Southern food?
I love seafood.
I guess certain kinds are, depending on where they're, the style in which they're cooked would make them Southern. You know, because different kind of things are cooked differently, different places. Like clam chowder from Boston, Massachusetts, that area would not be Southern, but there's some clam chowder in parts of North Carolina that's made a different way.
Mm.
There you go.
Good point, right, Ross.
Last one, Preston from Greensboro. I will not leave.
Who may or may not be related to Ross.
I'll not read his last one. 5.
You've got to read it.
No.
Oh,
it's vulgar,
God,
and insensitive.
No, it's not.
5, sweet tea. Got to add the sugar when it's hot and saturate it with sugar. Whoa, double sugar there from Preston. 4, killed lettuce. I've never heard about this, so I don't know if you know if it's real. Killed lettuce, branch lettuce, chopped onions, and then you pour hot bacon grease over the lettuce.
Whoa.
Not sure if that's real. Like it's just wilted lettuce with bacon grease.
It sounds incredibly unhealthy.
Yeah. All right. 3, fried squash. Cut the squash and bread it with a mixture of flour and cornmeal before frying it. And 2, cornbread dipped in buttermilk. And we will not share 1.
I'll read 1. 1. Anything Ross's mom fixes me for breakfast in the morning.
There you go. I don't get it.
That's why I'm wondering if he's your dad.
All right, let's get your top 5.
All right,
Don.
So I don't think you heard me earlier, but I cheated.
You got daughter to film out.
Yes, I got my daughter to fill it out because her mom is definitely Southern. Her mom lives in Southern Georgia and makes a lot of this crap herself from home, homemade. All right, so
her mom makes it.
Her mom, yes.
And doesn't your wife's from the South too, though, right?
She's from
Virginia.
She's from like Blacksburg area, Virginia.
That's
so
probably more south than where you live.
Yeah, but I think if you met my wife, you would think that she was like from the north. If you met Brianna, my daughter's mom, you would know she has a very thick southern accent and all that. So
does Brianna's mom listen to the podcast?
I'm 100% sure. Well, I'm 99% sure she does not.
Okay. All right.
All right. So
what was yours?
All right. So 6, she gave me 6, green beans. 5, cheesy grits. I asked her what the hell cheesy grits. And she said, they're really cheesy. You'll like them, dad. So I believe her. Number four, Country Boil. And this is something, again, she has with her mom. It sounds delicious. She described it to me. Says you have crab in there, corn, all that sort of stuff. Someone else also had it in their top five. I am highly intrigued. Number three, barbecue. I'm a big barbecue guy. When I'm on the road, it's great going to those holes in the walls. I always ask the high school coaching staff, especially if I'm like in the middle of nowhere, where's the best barbecue place? So just hop in, grab some hush puppies and barbecue. That would be my number one by far. All right. Number two, fried chicken. Obviously she's different than me. She likes the fried chicken. And number one, chicken and dumplings. Apparently her mother makes this from scratch, including the dough. So that's her five.
Chicken dumplings are good. So these aren't even your top thoughts? Five. You haven't had half those things.
Yeah.
These are your daughter's top.
But this is all about educating Don.
Okay. All right. I have a list that I made. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have 12 things listed.
Whoa.
Because I started thinking about it during the podcast, and then I listened to some what other people said. So I'm going to try to combine some of them to make it more of a five here. And some things I don't eat that often. So,
you know, you always are like, oh, we're going to kill this podcast in under an hour.
Yeah, it's been over
maybe
an hour
45
now.
Minutes.
Okay. Okay, I'm just going to read a bunch of them, okay?
All right, let's go.
Okay, I'm going to go with barbecue. Now, I don't eat a lot of barbecue. When I do, I like it, but I'm going to go barbecue ribs. I really love, you know, I love all barbecue, but barbecue ribs are my favorite.
Are you a Western or Eastern barbecue guy?
You know what? It's going to piss people off, but like, I'll eat anything. And like, I mean, one's more tomato based, one's more vinegar based. I know that. Dude, I feel like they're not that different.
I agree.
Maybe that's hearsay because they're both vinegar based, right?
I think so, but
one's just a little more red with different spices. Yeah, I need to do a little more research on that. But I mean, I've been all across the state. One's Lexington style,
yeah,
which is Western, and one's Eastern style, which is kind of the places on the way to the beach. They're both vinegar based in my eyes. Like North Carolina barbecue is chopped pork barbecue with vinegar based sauce.
Yeah,
they're just different variations. All right, love fried chicken. You know, good fried chicken, you can't beat it. Love mac and cheese and fried. I'd say fried okra is definitely a top five. My dad made it from scratch. So I kind of grew up on some really good fried okra. I make it occasionally. I'm sure it's a vegetable you never heard of until you moved down here.
Yeah.
But a good fried okra is great. When I go to certain places and there's side options, I always try to get fried okra. Along the same lines, squash casserole is one of my favorite southern sides. A good squash casserole is hard to beat. You know, biscuits is a southern staple. I think Chapel Hill has some of the best biscuit places available. You've got Sunrise Breakfast Kitchen right down Franklin Street away from campus. And then right on campus there across from the quad, you have Time Out and a bunch of other restaurants that do biscuits really well. Big old biscuits with anything. You can put the chicken on it. You can put gravy on it. You can put cheese, egg. A good biscuit is definitely a southern staple and one of my favorites. I need to learn how to make them. And then I would say right up there is Shrimp and Grits, a Shrimp and Grits bar where you have all the different condiments, bacon, onions, mushrooms, cheeses, different types of things to add to the Shrimp and Grits. Those are awesome. I've been to some weddings where they have Shrimp and Grits bars. Do that at home sometimes as well. That's great. And along the same lines, any sort of shellfish or po' boys, which is more of a New Orleans thing, fried shellfish, fried fish, fried oysters, you know, crabs down here, any type of shellfish, and, of course, po' boys on good French baguettes down New Orleans are definitely some of my top favorites. And I'll close it out with two different types of sandwiches. I love pimento cheese as a dip, pimento cheese as a side on a sandwich, on a biscuit, on a regular tomato and pimento cheese sandwich is great. And then of course the BLT or the tomato sandwich. One guy already mentioned tomato sandwiches. I grow tomatoes here at my house
and goats
literally steps from where I'm recording this podcast. And I eat tomato sandwiches all summer, sourdough bread, a little butter, which is sneaky, a layer of mayonnaise, salt and pepper on the tomatoes. And sometimes mustard, but usually just mayo, a little butter, tomatoes, salt and pepper, toasted sourdough bread. And of course, you can add to it with a BLT. You know, you do a pesto BLT. You can do avocado BLT. And I do that a lot at my house. Any questions, Donald?
That's a lot of information.
Hey, I'm born and raised North Carolina.
You got
grandmother from small town South Carolina. And my dad is born and raised in small town Eastern Tennessee.
Yeah, you definitely took this this top five to an all new level. It's probably your favorite top five of all time.
Yeah, it's good. I'm into food and I cook a lot and I'm from the South. All right.
Need to have me over, cook for me again.
Yeah, I don't cook too much Southern food, but I know I have a couple of dishes. All right, that's it, guys. Please rate, review, and subscribe. The new top five is top five documentaries. I'm excited to learn about some of your favorite documentaries. Can be new, can be old. Things are on Netflix. Please add where you can watch them, what streaming service you can watch them. That'd be very helpful as we get some new ideas to watch. Rate, review, subscribe. Johnny T-shirt, johnnytshirt.com. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by johnnytshirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
What's up, y'all? This is four-time NBA champ Andre Iguodala.
Yo, and this is his best friend, the Ohio State legend, Evan Marcel Turner I.
Every Wednesday, we drop a new episode on our show, Point Four.
We're talking basketball, business, and all the culture in between.
From locker room stories to some basketball analysis from those who've been in the game.
Now, it is a dude averaging 29 and 11. God, what'd it take to be an all-star?
A win. Subscribe to Point Four, the podcast, so you don't miss a thing.